morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for the Packers season opener on Sunday against the San Francisco Giants. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but to kick off the show today, we have a special guest on the line. We have Wally Pingle of PocketDoppler.com, who's going to talk to us a little bit about Throwback Weekend in a couple weeks. Wally, how you doing this morning?
Good, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and you know, you're kind of one of the organizing forces behind Throwback Weekend. We've joined forces on Cheesehead TV, Pocket Doppler, among others. And, to those people listening out there who have no clue what a throwback weekend is, can you kind of describe it?
Last year, it all started kind of as a fluke. Queen had found in Idaho that said she was coming for the Rams game, and kind of started out as just a cookout in my backyard. Next thing we knew, there were tons of people showing up, so it kind of evolved to that, and I'm like, well, no way I want all these people in my house. So I got together with Kyle Cousineau, and we put together a official tweet up, if you will, at the Abbey, and then that turned into a tailgate afterwards.
Okay, and it kind of grew, didn't it? I mean, that there seemed to be, you know, it grew exponentially from just a few people to I don't know, what were there, a few hundred people last year?
I would say at the Abbey we had about a good 75 to possibly 100, and then at the tailgate probably the same number.
Okay. Now, let's talk about details for this year. What's happening this year? It spans 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. What's going on Saturday this year?
Well, what we did this year, because we kind of are expecting, and they've already seen increased numbers, last year we held the tailgate at the Green Bay Distillery, which is, you know, within walking distance of Lambeau. And we kind of thought that the Abbey might be a little too small this year to hold all the people that were showing. So we approached the Green Bay Distillery about hosting the entire weekend. And that's exactly what they're doing. They were really kind to us and were able to move some things around. So Saturday, starting at around 6 p.m., we're going to have our, I hate this word, tweet up. We've got a private room all set up, chance for everybody to meet and greet everybody maybe they know online, or people they've already met. And then we're all going to watch the Badgers take on the Cornhuskers. And then following the game, we'll have a live DJ set up.
You mean the Badgers beat the Cornhuskers, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And what's happening then on Sunday, the next day, you know, the tailgate before the Packers-Saints game?
Well, we've got the still at the distillery. We're going to have a private area blocked off for us. We'll have a tailgate party there, food. We'll have the same DJ, the music caterer that was there last year, who also is providing entertainment on Saturday. Those were there last year. Remember, they also brought a photo booth deal, so you can get a chance to get some pictures taken with friends and whatnot, and that'll be starting roughly around noonish, we're assuming.
So how much does this cost? What are we asking people to do here, and how can they do it?
Well, what we've done this year, last year we just kind of took donations, and I mean, that worked, you know, relatively well, but the one thing that we're really trying to do with having a ticket registration deal this year is to get better ideas for numbers and also be able to plan a little bit better for everybody. So what we've done is we've broken it up into three packages, if you will, all right? For $50, you get, you know, admittance to the Saturday night deal, plus the Sunday tailgate. That for Saturday night, that includes 4 drink tickets, which you can use on pretty much, you know, anything, except for Top Rail. There's a list here, which I'm not going to read off, but, that also gets you, your official Throwback Weekend 2 t-shirt as well, and then gets you entrance on Sunday too. For those that can't make the whole weekend, we have 2 separate packages. There's a, Saturday only package, which is, you know, just for the, tweet up on Saturday, with the 4 drink tickets and a t-shirt. And if you can only do Sunday, the tailgate, that's $30 as well. And once again, you know, tailgate and the t-shirt thrown in there.
Fantastic. Now, just to reiterate, this happens, I believe, the dates are September 29th and 30th, the Saturday being the 29th, and Sunday, the game before the morning of the Saints game, 3 p.m. kickoff. So at that point, everybody kind of disperses and goes to watch the game, whether you're being at Lambeau Field or perhaps staying at the Green Bay Distillery to watch the game. And is there anything I'm missing here, Wally? Anything you want to add before we talk a little bit about this weekend's game?
Well, I mean, the one thing that I do really want to stress and let people know, you know, it helps immensely if you're registered, you know, either for the whole weekend or Saturday or Sunday. We will have to cut registration off probably the week before so that we can get t-shirts and whatnot ordered. Now, you can, you know, purchase at the door, but it'll cost you $10 more on each one of those packages, all right? And most importantly, though, any and all proceeds that are left after we've, you know, covered the costs of, you know, the DJ and drink tickets, t-shirts, whatnot, miscellaneous stuff, every cent that we have left is going to be made as a donation to the Jimmy V Foundation. So, you know, you're not only, you know, forking up for a good time and be friends and whatnot, but like I said, anything left is going to the Jimmy V Foundation for cancer research.
Wally, I got a question here on the live blog from Doug Bowerns. Are there going to be any badges this year with Twitter handles or you know, any sort of sticky thing with my name is on it? So these people who've never met each other.
I think we discussed that, and I think what we'll do, instead of the lanyards thing that we did last year, because it's just with the amount of people that are showing up, that was kind of be a little bit too much work. We'll probably just do the "Hi, my name is" sticker badges when you come in.
Sounds good. Let's fantastic, Wally. I can't wait to be there. It's a great weekend, and it's really something unique, I think, to Packer fans. And I suggest everybody who has the opportunity to go and check it out. But we've got an important game this weekend, this Sunday, the season opener against the San Francisco 49ers. Just give me a prediction, Wally. What's going to happen this Sunday?
Well, I had to get my first well in there. I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, when the final seconds tick off the game clock, I do see the Packers winning. Mm-hmm. I do think it's going to be probably a tight game. Could be 27-24 thereabouts. Obviously, you know, it goes without saying the San Francisco defense is stout. A little worried about our front line against their defensive line, especially with Newhouse. But I think he'll hold his own, and I think you know, when it comes down to it, I think the Packers will have enough to at least outpace the 49ers offense.
Is any concern that the stout 49ers defense is going to cause some trouble for a Packers offense that, you know, really wasn't all that great during the preseason?
I think they're definitely going to be able to get pressure on there, but that's the beauty of having a quarterback that can scramble and get out of trouble with his feet. you know, if it was somebody who was just going to sit there, they Peyton Manning-ish, then I'd be probably a little bit more worried. But I think that, you know, any pressure they're able to generate past the O-line, I'm hoping that Rodgers will be able to avoid it by scrambling.
Before I let you go, Wally, how about just maybe a season prediction for the Packers? What do you see them doing? How far do you see them advancing?
Well, when the schedule first came out, I, in my, you know, infinite wisdom, threw out 12-4, and I'm gonna stick with that because I have no reason not to stick with it, really.
I'm with you. I think I predicted 12-4 as well, and you know, I think it's realistic to expect regression from last year. You know, I don't think they're going to go 15-1 again. That being said, this is still a good team, and I don't think they're a 500 team either. So I'm right there with you, Wally. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're doing a great job.
Brian?
Yep, go ahead.
Probably the one thing I neglected to mention, which I probably should have, is all the details for Throwback Weekend you can find at throwbackweekend.com. And you can, you know, to register, get info on what's going on, also check out our sponsors, and obviously want to make sure we get that out. So throwbackweekend.com has got all your info on that. And also make sure to follow at Throwback Weekend, Throwback WKND on Twitter as well.
Very good. We threw out the link on the live blog, so we're good there. Wally, thank you so much. And everybody, go check out Wally's site, pocketdoppler.com as well. Fantastic stuff there. And I'm excited to see you late in September.
Yeah, it looks good. We'll see you soon, Brian.
All right, sounds good. Wally Pingle of PocketDoppler.com, one of the organizers of Throwback Weekend. In just a few short weeks, that's the Saints game. I know we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. It's Throwback Weekend isn't until a few weeks away, and I know there's a game on the docket this weekend that's really big. But we kind of wanted to throw a little preview out there, get the word out there about Throwback Weekend, because it is such a cool, unique experience for Packer fans that we literally have people coming from all over the United States for this. I would say the world, but I don't know how many internationals we have coming. But no, I mean, last year, I went around and asked people where they're from. We got people coming from New York, Dallas, Texas, San Francisco, California. I mean, literally coast to coast and places in between, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm just trying to go through everything here. Like the Houston, Texas area, unbelievable. People coming from all over the corners of the United States coming for Throwback Weekend. Like I said, I think it's really a unique fan experience. Just, you know, meeting other fans and meeting some of these people that you probably talk to online via Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and finally getting to meet them. And it's such a, I mean, everybody's there for the same reason. If you're coming to this, you're pretty much a Packers fan. And I just think it's really cool. And to tell you the truth, I personally, some Saints fans I know, friends of a friends, they might actually be coming to this as well. Everybody's going to have to treat them nicely. They're good people. But yeah, some Saints fans just excited to come for the whole Lambeau Field experience, though. Really, I mean, they're excited about that. They're wanting to see, you know, football in the cathedral, even though they're Saints fans. So anyway, let's get talking about Packers football here. Let's talk about the big game this weekend. And you know what I thought was really kind of interesting? And you know, I do the Packers Daily Links every morning, and you scroll down to the bottom right-hand corner of the page. There's the link right there, this morning's Packers Daily Links. Top story today, Randall Cobb kind of eager to drop his return duties for the Packers. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, going out and doing every talk show imaginable like Greg Jennings did earlier this week. And there was really nothing wrong with that either, I think, what Greg Jennings did. But I just really thought it was kind of interesting, these comments from Randall Cobb. He's such a young player. I mean, even though it's his second year in the NFL, he's still one of the youngest players on the Packers and the entire NFL for that matter. He's only 22 years old. And because he came out as an underclassman a year ago. So, you know, really, had he stayed till his senior year, this would be his rookie year in the NFL. Anyway, basically saying, hopefully there's a younger guy that can take over the return roles eventually. And, I mean, I understand where Randall Cobb's coming from. He wants a bigger role on offense. Totally understandable. I couldn't blame any player for wanting to do that. And there's also kind of the behind-the-scenes thing that, you know, I'm not sure he would go out and come out and say this, but injuries happen more frequently on kick returns. You know, on special teams, especially kick returns when there's such big time collisions. And you know, that puts his, you know, the rest of his job in jeopardy. You know, if he gets injured on a kick return, he's not going to be out there for offense. So I understand that as well. But I mean, he is so good. Randall Cobb made the Packers special teams respectable last year. The Packers special teams have been kind of an issue ever since head coach Mike McCarthy was named to the job. They have not been all that good. I mean, there might have been a couple times when they've been average, but I mean, really, I think the Packers special teams were as best as they've ever been under head coach Mike McCarthy last year, and it had a lot to do with Randall Cobb, because he was so dynamic on returns, both kick returns and punt returns. He really made them well. He might have saved Sean Slocum's job, special teams coordinator Sean Slocum's job. He may have. So the Packers really becoming respectable, and now all of a sudden you kind of see, Randall Cobb kind of wanting to get rid of that role a little bit. I mean, he's acknowledging that's kind of something that's going to happen in the future. Not saying, like, I don't want to return right now. But I just thought, for a young guy who's young, he seems a little too eager, perhaps, to get rid of that. He's so good at it. You know, it's basically become his calling card. Heck, he was voted having the NFL's play of the year last year. Play of the year. Remember last year, just over a year ago now, that opening day game against the Saints on national TV on a Thursday night, had that 108-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. You know, play of the year in the NFL. How many plays does an NFL season have? You know, hundreds of thousands of plays? Maybe hundreds of thousands is a little much, but I just say they'd approach 100,000. Got to be 10,000, tens of thousands of plays. But I mean, he's so good. And, you know, I just don't see the Packers wanting to take him out of that role until they find a more adequate replacement. You know, Randall Cobb, too bad. You're back there. Unless we can find somebody else good, and there's not really anybody else on the team who's really threatening for that job right now. I mean, yeah, you can point to the preseason and say the Packers, they really didn't use Randall Cobb on returns all that much during the preseason. It's basically because they didn't want him to get hurt. They rarely had him out there on kick returns. Maybe they did there in the third preseason game or whatever. But yeah, they didn't have him out there on kick returns all that much. And then when they had him out there on punt returns, he was, you know, basically out there to fair catch. You know, Did Randall Cobb even have a punt return during the preseason that he actually didn't fair catch? I'm not sure he did. Again, maybe in the third preseason game, they really tried to play that, get things accomplished in that game. But that's about it. Ted the Sledge says, bring back Otis, my man, Merrill. Yeah, Otis Merrill having the 60-yard return. The only thing Otis Merrill is known for in Packers history now is one 60-yard kick return, because he didn't do anything memorable on defense, albeit in a small sample size of time. I see John Rayor on our live blog throwing out all these other possible names for return duties. Jordy Nelson. Oh, wait, bad idea. Tremont Williams. Oh, bad idea. Yeah, I mean, I understand that you don't want to have these great players getting injured on special teams, exposing them to injury. But, I mean, Randall Cobb, I mean, he's as valuable to the Packers on kick returns as he is on offense. You know, I think that's the way I'm seeing it. But, yeah, so big game this weekend, health report here. It looks as if B.J. Raji is going to play. There was kind of a concern at some point with him rolling an ankle in the Packers' final preseason game. First play of the final preseason game, and everybody gasps. But he went from a limited participant at practice on Wednesday to a full participant at practice on Thursday. So you see the progression that B.J. Raji is making. And I don't think there's any question he's going to play on Sunday. So that's good. A starter and a key cog in the Packers defense going to play on Sunday against the 49ers. So B.J. Raji, unless something catastrophic happens, looks like he's going to play. The one guy who's been ruled out for the Packers game has been running back James Starks. He's already been ruled out. Not going to play at all. But, I mean, the Packers now, you know, pretty much relying on Cedric Benson. So, really not too much of a big deal there, I don't think. And the one question mark at this point is cornerback Devon House. The guy who was really looking, had a very good preseason, looking like he could have been a starter on the Packers defense at cornerback. But still kind of recovering from the after effects of that subluxated shoulder. Basically, his shoulder came out of joint. And, you know, he's practicing this week, but he's under the category of limited participant. And I just can't see the Packers taking any chances with Devon House in week one, especially seeing as they're coming to a short turnaround in week two against the Bears. And perhaps maybe he has a chance at that if the Packers want to keep him fresh and healthy. Maybe he's got a chance in week two, but I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Devon House is out multiple games for the Packers, as they just kind of wait and see. In fact, it's kind of always been in the back of my mind that they could use Devon House for that new injured reserve rule. And the Packers haven't made use of that yet. You know, they're kind of playing at this point a wait and see game, and maybe at some point, who knows, if Devon House is not recovering the way they'd like, maybe they could still use it on him at some point later in the season. But kind of waiting, you know, all of a sudden, if the Packers suffer a major injury in week one, kind of like they did the Super Bowl season with Ryan Grant, could kind of use something like that there. So maybe. But I mean, without a doubt, folks, one of the best games on the NFL's opening weekend docket, the Packers and the 49ers, two good teams here, two fantastic teams, 49ers making all the way to the NFC Championship game last year, team with a really good defense, got to scare you a little bit. You know, their linebackers are fantastic, holy cow. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith. Man, I love the Packers, but man, if you told me the Packers and the 49ers could trade linebackers, I'd probably do it. You know, I'd have to give up Clay Matthews, but I'd probably do it. Is that bad to say? Should I not be saying that? Oh, man. That's a good question. I think we should throw that out as a question on the live blog, and people probably don't even want to like entertain this question. They don't even want to think about it. Would you trade the Packers linebackers for the 49ers linebackers? No, I'm in the Packers corner. I am, seriously. I have a lot of respect for the 49ers linebackers. Really. Oh, Patrick Willis, Alden Smith, and Navarro Bowman. And who am I missing there, too? And the other guy isn't exactly bad either. I'm being called a commie and told to go to my room on the live blog. Now, I love the Packers. I'm behind Clay Matthews, AJ Hawk, DJ Smith. I like the options on the live blog here for a poll. Yes, no, or Brian is a commie. But right now the early results are 50-50. Yes, they trade him, and 50% Brian is a commie. But nobody's saying no. Nobody is saying no. That's perhaps more telling than anything. That there isn't a person out there yet who's voted no on the poll. That they wouldn't take the Packers or the 49ers linebackers over the Packers. Ahmad Brooks, there we go. There's the fourth member of the 49ers linebacker core. And then there's Justin Smith, 49ers defensive lineman, that he's pretty darn good too. I mean, think about that. You know, one of the keys to the game, I think, is going to be the play of Marshall Newhouse and Wally Pingle. Mentioned that earlier, that, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a concern. You know, his performance, how is he going to do against Alden Smith and Justin Smith? The Smiths are there over on the right side of the 49ers defense where they line up more often than not. So, yeah, I mean, the Packers going to have to keep Aaron Rodgers upright, keep him healthy, and a lot of that is going to fall on the shoulders of Marshall Newhouse. And you know, I think the Packers will be hopefully giving him a lot of help. You know, I think they're going to give him some help with some tight ends, some running backs chipping in, things like that. And he needs it too. I think especially early in the season, it'll help give him a little bit of confidence. I mean, if a game or two goes by and Marshall Newhouse doesn't give up a sack in the first couple games, his confidence is going to soar, and that can only be a good thing. Now, I mean, good season, bad season, even if he has a terrific season, Marshall Newhouse is going to give up a couple sacks at some point. Don't think he's going to pitch a shutout anyone. But, I mean, he could really stand to get off to a good start in 2012. Because I think playing with confidence is such an important thing in any sport. You know, your confidence builds, and for whatever reason, you just feel good about yourself, and you play better as a result. Even if it's mental, you just play better. You know, it happens that way, and I mean, really, all sports, whether it's a team sport like baseball or an individual sport like golf, I mean, you feel good about yourself. You just play better. Kevin Lamb on a live blog mentioning Marshall Newhouse, but also DJ Smith having a big game this week. Yeah, DJ Smith, I mean, you know, people are confident about DJ Smith, but this is a guy who really doesn't have a whole lot of experience under his belt. So it's going to be very important that he has a good game and a good year for the Packers. I mean, he is being counted on to be the Packers starter the entire year this year. Yeah, I mean, really, really important. Leviticus 2:16 in the live blog says, I like DJ Smith. I think he'll have a good year. I think everybody's in that boat. It seems like everybody is confident in DJ Smith despite his relative inexperience. Despite the relative inexperience, everybody's high on him. That's a good thing. I mean, he's ingratiated himself to Packer Nation. He has people having confidence in him, and Leviticus 2:68 says he plays tough and he's smart. I don't doubt that. I mean, everything you've seen from him so far tends to indicate that. Yeah. But yeah, how excited are you for the start of football, huh? I mean, just fantastic to get the season underway starting this weekend, starting Sunday. I mean, NFL season started on Wednesday already, and now we're getting off to all the action on Sunday. Two games on Monday Night Football. Oh, just great stuff. So, you know, folks, look forward. Got a lot of coverage coming this week. I got my Friday column at Bleacher Report coming out shortly. I'm going to post it on Twitter right when the show is done here. Got my five keys to the game, including Marshall Newhouse will be part of that, but more than that as well. And going to make my 46-man roster prediction. Remember, even though there's a 53-man roster, only 46 people can play on game days. It's always a kind of a touchy subject and kind of a thing that that is handled delicately within every organization, who plays and who doesn't. Seven people can't play every game. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So I'm going to come up with my roster prediction later about who's going to be sitting and who's going to be suiting up for the Packers on Sunday. And here, yeah, John Rahor on the live blog throws up, predict this, who's going to be starting opposite Tremont, one of the few positions still up in the air. And my prediction is it's a timeshare. I think the good Packers are going to do what they did in the playoffs last year. Bush and Shields sharing time. Bush might get the start, I think, but he's not going to play every down. He'll be sharing time with Shields. Who knows, though? I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before. So, hey, have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll be back again on Monday for another episode of Railbird Central. And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. And I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. I'll see you later, everyone.